Good morning.
We're going to spend some time this morning reflecting on the love of God as we sing in some of our songs. You know, one of the things that I have enjoyed doing is spending some time looking at the background behind the writing of some of the songs that we sing. And sometimes we find some amazing stories about how God has worked in the lives of poets and musicians to encourage us and inspire us through song. And one of the songs that we sing is entitled simply, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And it's about the love that we have for Him. Now, we don't know a lot about the circumstances that inspired the writing of this hymn. In fact, for many years, we weren't even sure who wrote it. But through the years, we have discovered some fascinating stories about the events that came together to make this song a classic. Back in 1864, a minister by the name of A.J. Gordon was browsing through the London Hymnal, and a hymn jumped out at him. He read the words to the song, and he was impressed at how well the words were written. The authorship of the poem was listed as anonymous. But this had to have been somebody of excellence, whoever wrote the song, he felt that the poem was very well written. And as he read over the words, he began to think that this song was probably written by somebody like Isaac Watts or Charles Wesley. And then he looked at the music. And he thought to himself, you know, these words deserve a much better tune. And so in a moment of inspiration, a new tune sprang up in his mind. And this tune combined with the poem became a very popular song, ranking up there with some of the beloved hymns of those days, such as Amazing Grace and Rock of Ages. Now, within the last few years, we have discovered that the author of this poem was a young man by the name of William Ralph Featherstone. He was born in Montreal, Canada in 1846, and he wrote this poem when he was converted to Christ at the age of 16. And after writing the poem, he sent it to his aunt, who at the time lived in Los Angeles. Now, think about it. This hymn was written by a 16-year-old boy, was considered something of excellence by a music publisher when he read it in a London hymnal. And how unlikely that a poem written in Canada, sent to a relative on the West Coast, would wind up in a British hymnal. And what are the odds that this poem, discovered by a single songbook editor in a British hymnal over 100 years ago, would wind up becoming an American classic? You know, it's easy to forget, as we sing the words to this song, that it was a teenage boy that wrote the words. It expresses a deep and profound love for Christ. Notice the words of the poem. "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." This hymn has helped to provide words of music and love to countless people and worshipers over the years. It's had a dramatic effect not only on the worshipers, but even on outsiders who've listened to devoted Christians sing these words to their God. You know, this is the sort of thing that the Apostle Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when an outsider comes in and listens to the Christian assembly and hears the words. And Paul says that the outsider is convicted by all. He's called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. And you know, there's actually an account of this sort of thing happening in connection with this song. Many years ago, a song leader and songwriter by the name of Ira Sankey tells a story about an actress who was walking down the street and passed by an open door. And through the open door, she saw a pale, sickly little girl, obviously handicapped, laying on a couch, watching people pass by. And the actress thought to herself, I might be able to cheer this girl up. And so with that, she stopped, went inside, and the sick girl she found was a devoted Christian. And the actress, through the course of conversation, was impressed with her words, with her patience, with her submission, and especially with her uplifting presence in spite of her sickness. And all of these things exemplified this girl's faith in such a way that the actress was touched. And she began to consider the claims of Christianity. Now later on, she decided to convert and become a follower of Christ. So she went and told her father, who was the leader of the theater troupe. She told her father of her conviction, of her conversion, and that she could not live a consistent Christian life and still travel on the road as an actress. Now her father was astonished and told his daughter that their living depended on her. If she quit, then they would have no means of income and their business would be ruined. But he was persistent and managed to reluctantly get his daughter to agree to stay. And so she did reluctantly agree to stay. And so they made preparations for the next play, and the father rejoiced that he had won his daughter back. And time came for the next play, and his daughter was playing the starring role. And then the hour came. The audience was in place. The curtains rose, and the young actress stepped forward amid all of the applause. She stepped forward, and the audience hushed as a light shone and beamed on her beautiful face. And there, in the silence, she repeated these words. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And that was all. Leaving the audience in tears, she left the stage, never to appear on it again. But through her influence, her father was eventually converted, and together they led several other people to Christ. And their commitment, made from the heart of this young actress, may have cost them their livelihood, but she gained eternity. Now, who was that invalid girl on the street? We may never know, but we do see how the power of a radiant Christian life, even though handicapped, combined with a hymn poem written by a 16-year-old boy in Canada, provided the most effective sermon. How often do we try to do something big and try to find something great that we can do to try and share the love of God with other people? And sometimes it's just a simple declaration of our love for Jesus. Sometimes that's all it takes. And so let's go ahead and turn to number 146 and sing this poem. And really think about the words that we're singing and what we're declaring to our Lord. Number 146.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hadst first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
You know, love is the greatest thing. We love God. We love our Savior. We love one another. But you know, love does not come out of thin air. The only reason we can love, and the only reason we even have the capacity to love, is because we have been loved first. John reminds us that we love because He first loved us. God loved us first. Love comes from God. The Bible says that God is love. And you know, there have been a lot of poets that have written about the love of God. And one of these was Frederick Martin Lehmann. He was born a long time ago in Germany in 1868. He and his family moved to America in 1872 and had a farm in Iowa. And as he grew up, he farmed until his late 20s. And he began a long career as a preacher, a religious editor, and as a music publisher. In 1911, he moved to Kansas City and then later to Pasadena, California. And things were going really well in his life until something went drastically wrong. In 1917, a series of unfortunate events caused Lehmann's to lose everything. This forced him to hard, back-breaking labor in a lemon packing house. Now, it was during this difficult time that the hymn entitled "The Love of God" was born. Here's what Mr. Lehmann said about this. He said, these are his words. He says, "This song was written during the interim while waiting on 8 women lemon sorters in a Pasadena packing house, carrying to us boxes of lemons and taking the finished trays away from them. So first he would carry crates of lemons to the women for inspection and sorting. And second, he would carry the finished product away for shipping, lifting as much as 30 tons each day. Now, it was in between those periods of time, between those two tasks, that he penciled down the words and the music to the first 2 verses of The Love of God." Think about that. It's amazing how amazing it was to be able to write about the love of God with such warmth and feeling at one of the lowest times in his life. But then there was a third verse. And we find that Mr. Lehman didn't write the third verse. Some years before, he had heard the words to the third verse in a sermon at a camp meeting. And when he heard those words, he was so moved by it that he wrote them down on a little piece of notepaper, and he saved it for 20 years until he could write a full hymn to go along with those words. But where did that preacher at the camp meeting get those words? The words for the third verse were actually found previously on the walls of a mental institution over 200 years ago. After the patient died there, the painters found the words, and they were so impressed by them that they wrote those words down before they painted over the walls. And then a few years back, the words to the third verse were found again in an ancient Hebrew work written by a Jewish rabbi nearly 900 years ago. 900 years ago. Think about how far a journey that this song has made from an obscure Hebrew poem 900 years ago to the heart of a mentally challenged patient 200 years ago, preserved by some painters on a wall, and then recited by an unknown preacher at a camp meeting to survive on notepaper for 20 years until Mr. Lehman lost everything and was inspired to write music and two other verses to go along with this poem. Amazing. Some would say it's only the providence of God that can explain how all of these events came together to give birth to this great song. You know, the song speaks of the infinite and immeasurable love of God, always strong, always faithful, immeasurable. In fact, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love never fails. Listen to the words of this song. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies a parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. The love of God is what has sustained us. God's love is what has brought beauty into our relationships. It's what has brought life and light into our family and among us. So take your songbooks and turn to number 45. And we'll go ahead and sing the words of the song. And think about what it is that we're declaring. This song is a reminder and a good reflection on the vastness and the strength and the immeasurableness and the depth of the love of God for us. The love of God is greater far than tongue nor pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless
and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hill and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
There's not enough ink in the ocean. There's not enough parchment in the world. There are not enough writers in the world to completely capture the love of God. It's truly boundless and endless. God loves you with true love. It's a sacrificial love, steadfast love, faithful love, immeasurable love. He never gave up on you. Even though you have sinned, even though all of us have sinned, God still loves us anyway. And that is amazing. You may think that you're unlovable, but God still loves you immeasurably. You know what? He can fill your heart with His love, and He can transform you. You know that God loves you, so what are you going to do about it? How sad would it be to be loved by God and still be lost anyway? Does that ever happen? Yes, it does. And it pains God deeply. If you have never spent time in the book of Hosea, I would encourage you to go to Hosea chapter 11. And you know, I read through Hosea for years, and this really didn't jump out at me until my life circumstances caused me to be able to relate personally to to what God expresses in that passage, where He talks about His wayward son and how He loved His son Israel when he was but a young child. And now he's grown up, and now he's wayward, and he keeps going and doing the wrong things and turning his back on him. And God is angry, God is grieved, but God says, my heart is turned over within me. You know, in one moment I'm just ready just to cast him off and throw him off, but how can I do that? That's my son, and I love my son. And that's the way God loves you. How sad would it be to be loved by God and still be lost? God has provided a way for every single one of us to come back home. If you accept Him, if you love Him, if you're faithful and obedient to Him, you can know the peace and joy of His love now and forever. And if you've not accepted Him and you've not come to Him, you can do that today. Don't reject His love. Just come forward. Make a simple declaration of your loyalty to Him. Be baptized. Let Him wash away all of your sins. Walk with Him. Love Him, and you'll grow in His love. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And you can come up to the front. The water back here is ready. If you need to redevote your life to Christ, you can do that this morning. You know, sometimes we fall off the wagon, don't we? The good news that, you know, God knows. And God has provided a way for us to come back. You can get back up out of the dirt and get back into the wagon again. Get back into the saddle, right?
God has provided a way for us to do that because He loves us. His love is immeasurable. His love is strong. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that. You know, there's a song that we sing in number 72 in the supplement. The song says, "How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He would give His only Son to make a wretch. To make a wretch His treasure." That means God treasures you. And so if you haven't come to Him this morning, I invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song. Won't you come?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Men in fellowship sweet, we will sing. Never fear, only trust and obey.